274-868-1866 KVNF. Now we invite you to call and join our conversation. And so we're in this waiting game of things coming on, still to harvest, getting ready to clean up. Hurry up and wait, huh, Lulu?
Yeah, it is a hurry up and wait, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I still have broccoli, collards, kale, beets, chard, and they're all right where I want to put the garlic.
Okay.
Actually, I shouldn't say the garlic, but the shallots, because the garlic is going to go up at Phil's house. But the shallot, yeah, they're all right there.
Uh-huh. So you've got to wait to harvest those mm-hmm. uh-huh. and then find the right day to plant the garlic.
Right. But like Lance was just in his book, and so the good bulb day, or no, the bulbs for flowers is the 10th and the 12th. But the root day for the garlic is the 7th, 8th, and 9th, and that's November.
Okay.
Yeah, you should have it out by then.
Yeah, uh-huh. I should. Mm-hmm. But one never knows.
Eat hearty, Lulu.
Eat.
Eat.
Eat, cook,
eat,
do
cook,
everything.
Right.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Yep, and you mentioned bulbs because you're going to be planting some.
No, I can't wait. Tulips. I've got some new, spring tulips. Just make me so happy.
Uh-huh. Me
and
too.
I just love them. I've got two bags of some colors called Spike the Punch.
Ooh.
Where do they come up with these names, right?
Know,
like, wouldn't you
I'd
love
like that job?
Yeah, me too. I would love that job. And then I've got a bag of the little species tulips, which spread.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, and are not, they're not big and showy
mm-hmm.
particularly.
They're very low.
They're low. But they're just fabulous because they keep on spreading.
Keep on giving. Spread mm-hmm. the joy. Hey, great. We've got Linda on the line who wants to talk about amending soil, which is something we were going to get to. So, hi, Linda.
Hi, it's actually Glenda.
Oh, Glenda. Excuse me.
Like the good
no
witch?
Problem.
Yes.
The
good.
Exactly.
Oh. Awesome. What's going on, Glenda?
Okay. I have heard from various excellent gardeners that all they do to amend their soil is put their fall leaves on their garden bed.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work? Or do you have to chop them up? Or can you on top of the soil and leave them all winter?
Yeah, the trick is not too thick.
Okay.
If it's real thick, it'll
They don't break down as easily.
Yeah, probably about an inch, 2 inches.
Oh,
something like
okay, because I had heard like a foot.
But you know, it also depends on the leaves. Like, for instance, if it's fruit tree leaves, they're thicker and coarser, and they take longer. But mm-hmm. maple leaves, I let my maple leaves where they come off the tree, they just hang out, and they go.
How about cottonwood leaves?
Yeah, I use cottonwood. And
It
will break down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You might do that and add some manure or compost on top.
Okay.
Give it something to work with
a little
bit.
What mm-hmm. is your manure of choice?
Oh,
whichever one you can get.
Get. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever works, you know.
Chicken, horse, cow.
Cow, mm-hmm. yeah. Cow, goat is good. Sheep, if you can get it, is good.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's great information.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're
thanks
welcome.
For the question, Glenda.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good... Okay, so with the fruit tree leaves, they're mm-hmm. they're thicker and heavier, and they really mat things out
uh-huh.
more. And one of my pear trees insists on getting this little blight every year, and I have to rake every leaf this year to get them out of there.
Yeah, get it out of there.
Yeah.
Because you've got blighty leaves.
Yes.
Uh-huh, and you don't want that breaking down. Oh. Right.
No, yeah, you don't. Mm-hmm. You just don't. Well, apparently it hangs, even though the leaves are gone in the spring and you rake them up or mow them or whatever, the disease is still there.
Right.
And then it gets, the little spores work their way back up onto the leaves in
right.
the spring. Yeah. And we just don't want that. And we're going to try to avoid it.
Well, I don't rake my leaves at all in my yard.
Oh, I was going to ask, yeah.
I just let them lie.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the springtime, if there's thicker spots that, you know, if it's going to kill the grass or I want to put something else there, that's mm-hmm. when I rake it up. But the worms really do like pulling those things down into the ground.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's a good healthy thing.
Right. And do you love it when you get the little earthworm nests? I mean, not earthworm, the big ones, nightcrawler.
Oh, yeah.
You get the nightcrawler nests. Yeah. You can see where...
building in the leaves?
Yeah.
Cool.
What the nightcrawlers do is they come up in the night like they're supposed to, and they grab, they feel around, they do this dance, and they feel around, and they grab stuff, and they pull it down into their hole, and then it makes this little kind of mound on top of their hole, and it keeps the rain out.
Yeah,
so they
and you can
drown.
Actually see the leaves they've tried to pull up are... like this, and rolled.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah. Trying to pull them down.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fascinating.
Cool. It's really cool.
You know, I may have seen that, and I didn't even know what I was looking at. Mm-hmm. So awesome. I bet I see it all over the place now. That's great.
You will. If you have a healthy nightcrawler population, mm-hmm. you see them everywhere.
Yeah.
Love that. Healthy bug. And Lance, what about those woolly worms? I've been dodging those on the highway.
The woolly worms are those, it's a... folklore, shall we say, and they're black at both ends and orange-brown in the middle.
Right.
And the folklore is that they can tell the seasons, not so much severity. So right now, every single woolly worm I've seen from the head back is long, and that's the fall. So it's a long fall, regular length. The brown in the middle is average. It's the regular length winter and a very short spring.
Okay, so just sort of their color factor. Yeah. So long fall, regular winter, short spring. Does that mean hot temperatures coming?
I have no idea.
Oh.
This is,
guess
this
we
is
better a... ask a woolly worm.
This is not about temperature. It's about length. Length of time.
Okay, length of time.
Yeah.
See, it corresponds to the length of the spot on the worm.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And they're different every year.
Oh, cute. They are cute. My cat caught one and just was a delicacy. She had to go right back to the spot where she got it and look for more.
Cute?
Yeah.
God, I love it. What are they, though? I mean, what are they?
I don't know what kind of cat butterfly it would be.
I don't either.
We'll
they're all
them.
Over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's really a lot of them.
I like it. Well,
all
folklore
right, if anybody
works for
knows,
me. 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. Let's talk woolly worms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What does the worm turn into? Awesome.
Yeah. You know, Glenda brought up soil amendment and manure, and we were talking a little bit earlier about mineral fertilizers.
Yeah. Mineral fertilizers can be put on in the fall time, and they're usually a rock or some sort of, so it takes a while for them to break down, and they're really best if you use them in conjunction with a soil test to see what you're lacking.
Okay, so you might be lacking what in your soil?
Well, the common one is the calcium, magnesium imbalance. And you get a soil test, and then you can also do this in the spring, but you have the whole winter for things to break down and even out.
Right. And so is this in a powdery type of form?
Usually
or?
It's powder or it's pellets.
Uh-huh.
I use sulfur because of my alkaline well water. So I put sulfur on, and it comes in, they call it prills, but it looks like small yellow chocolate chips. That's what it looks like. And they're smaller than a chocolate chip. But that's.
And you just kind of spread it out?
I spread it out.
Particular areas of your garden? Or?
I'm doing just my perennial plants.
Just perennial plants. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't seem to have a problem in the annual beds as much. And maybe that's because I'm putting so much compost on.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're kind of getting that soil to stabilize as far as...
Well, the bacteria take the sulfur
and
break it down into sulfuric acid. And the alkaline water is alkaline, so they're opposite, so it neutralizes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So spring comes and your soil is feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty healthy.
Yeah.
Do you know what your... alkalinity is what your number
I'd have to look
is?
At the test. I know what it is, and I was lucky enough to get one of those tests for the baseline test that they're coming through for the
for the fracking or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
So
okay.
They actually asked me to do that. So
good.
So I'll get those results in the near future.
Okay, so you've got sort of an official soil test thing going on that you're going to get results.
That's water test.
That's water test.
That's
right.
Not a soil
sure,
test.
For fracking.
Because his water is super alkaline. And so really, no matter what your soil pH is, what you water with determines your pH more than than anything else.
It's right. Not super alkaline. You know, it's but it's...
Yeah,
it's it builds up a little bit.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's more alkaline than...
Yeah, neutral or acidic.
Yeah.
It's building up on the faucets.
Oh, yeah, see?
Right, right. Yeah. So how would someone just like me, a commoner, do a test to see what kind of mineral fertilizer I might need? Are there kits that you can buy?
There's basic kits, and if you really... into it, you can call up soil testing labs. And you can just go online, I'm sure, to find soil testing labs. And there's many around. I think the one some people were using here, Neil Kinsey, was
he's a soil tester.
Yeah, he was from the Midwest someplace. Mm-hmm. And if there's callers out there, they can let us know. There's some other ones out of California that I've heard of.
Okay.
You can always just call your extension agent, too, CSU. County extension, and they can tell you what to do with it. Sometimes they even provide little bags and, you know, tell you go dig in four corners and things
like
that.
Yeah, it's not just one spot. When you do your garden, you do the whole thing.
Right, because as we've learned, there can be crazy spots in your garden that do different things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you sort of get an overview, a picture, kind of a, you know, an overview of what you might need.
Right. Okay, 527-486-8186-KVNF now. A little over 10 minutes, so we've got time for a few calls. And give us a ring. And talking about soil, I was thinking about watering and getting close to the end of the season. And we talk about our vegetable gardens. And what about just our nice shrubs and trees out there? Do we need to make sure they're watered for winter coming on?
They do better.
They do better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm lucky enough in my situation that I'll probably water in November if it's dry.
And you're watering trees and shrubs.
I water trees and shrubs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you got the rain that we got in those last cycles.
It's real moist right now.
But right now.
It is still moist.
I'm waiting for it to dry out. Mm-hmm. And at this time of the year, with the sun angle so low and the temperatures cooling and the hours of daylight being less, I'm not going to worry about watering at all.
Yeah, no, I'm watching it.
Yeah.
I haven't watered since those big rains. Yeah. I did hand water the fall greens and stuff like that yesterday, but I'm not even going to water the carrots.
Oh, yeah. I don't have to water. I wouldn't water anything right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is just sopping wet.
Yeah.
Muddy.
Yeah, still pretty muddy.
But anyways, the best thing is to go into winter with moist soil.
Right.
We had that caller a couple of weeks ago, wanted to know what to do with the grapevine. So going in, and right now we got it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, hoed it through the grapevine.
Right. You know, last week we had a caller, I think she was from Nucla, Shelley, who had a grass invasion. I think she had quack grass. Did you want to talk about that and follow up, Matt?
I just had an idea of how to, most people, when they're digging their yards, getting the weeds out, they start from the edge and work in.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening is when you're, two things. One is you bury some of the stuff you wanted to dig, and you compact the soil because you're working in. It's better to start in the middle and work back out to the edge. And what you're left with at the end is cultivated soil. With nothing in it, and it's not compacted, so it's just one of these little
that
tricks.
Makes sense.
And so I thought, because she'll probably still have to dig some quackgrass in the or grass in general, because we really didn't know what it was.
Right.
Yeah, but we're suspecting.
Yeah, and it's better to start in the middle, and work back out to the edge.
Okay, great. Because it sounded like she had a lot of work to do there,
yeah.
And so that's going to be a nice cultivation project, Shelley.
Yes.
Good for you. Hey, we've got, I believe it's Andrea on the line with a woolly bear comment. Hi, Andrea.
Hello.
Hi.
I guess there's a geographical difference in woolly bear interpretation.
Oh, okay.
Good.
What do you know?
I grew up on the East Coast, And the story on there was that the amount of black on the woolly bear's back would show how big the winter was going to be.
Okay.
So the more black, the harder the winter.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I think they're looking pretty black and fuzzy right now.
They're pretty black.
Yeah. They're looking pretty black?
Yes, much more black than any brown.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Yes, there's
We'll get down this down completely, so everybody keep their eyes out.
That's
right. Yeah. Everybody pay attention. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for this show. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Yeah, we could. Next week will be the weather report based on woolly bear observations.
Right on. You know, I wanted to say one more thing about leaves, too.
Yeah.
One thing that I do in the spring, if I have a concentration of a lot of leaves, instead of raking them up, I take the rake and I make, I don't know how to describe it, instead of raking the leaves up, I just swish the rake through the leaves and try to break them up a little bit so that the air can get in under there and the light a little bit. And
turning compost.
Yeah, yeah. And just let the leaves turn right into compost.
Nice.
Or even just get out the rototiller super early and just, you know.
Till them right in.
Roll around in there.
Just aerate it some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I always like to do any trimming or pruning when the leaves are off. Because you can see the structures of the trees and the bushes so much. It's clear. You're not trying to see through all the leaves.
Right. And you're doing that in the spring? You're trimming and pruning or as part of fall cleanup?
Mostly in the spring.
Uh-huh.
But there's some stuff I do in the fall. If there's something that I don't care, like my elm tree, I don't care. You know, and if somebody gets a chance to come and do it in the fall, fine, do it. Get it out of there. You know, I don't care. Or, like, I have to trim some of the bushes away from the house because we're going to paint on one side.
Right.
So, you know, and it's just Nanking cherries.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to hurt anything.
No.
No.
Mm-hmm. No, I had to prune some grapevines because I was rebuilding a fence.
Yeah.
And you don't prune grapevines this time of year. But I didn't prune them down where they need to be in the spring.
You just got them out of the way.
I got them out of the way.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah, right. So, you know, for me, I'm just lazy. So I just try to let everything kind of do its thing and work its own thing. And
Yeah. The other thing with leaves, when they get really thick like that, and if Lulu, she's stirring them up,
right.
is they do mat and they will make a seal right at the ground.
Yep.
And they will stay like muck underneath
it.
Yep. And there's no air. It gets anaerobic then.
Okay. Right.
And that's why, even if she didn't rake the leaves up, but she stirred it up to get air, then your worms can work, the bacteria, all that
everything
kind of
stuff. Starts to work, right.
So keep it fluffy, fluff them up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty logical, you know, if your plants and your soil need exactly what you need. They need air is their primary. Mm-hmm. They need air. They need water. They need nutrients. And it's up to you to provide it.
That's right.
Yep.
And
as the supreme being of your garden.
I know there's one more supreme being out there that wants to give us a ring because we've got time for one more call. 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. I heard talk of some raspberries still coming off the vines. Hmm?
Yeah, I've
off the bush.
I picked a quart yesterday.
That sounds heavenly.
Yeah.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me think of raspberry fennel. Vinaigrette.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, that sounds a little tasty combo.
Right, but I didn't grow any fenocchino.
You want some? You want me to bring you some next week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And walnuts, fenocchino, raspberries. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, okay. That's a nice combo.
And you blend it and make a dressing, a salad dressing.
Uh-huh.
It's fabulous. Yeah. And then you eat it with, of course, because I have my last 5 plants of endive.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where it's good. And the freesi. Yeah.
Ooh, it's kind of nice sort of getting all these end-of-year harvest things out and comboing them up and coming up with some great flavors.
Well, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Like these end-of-the-year delights.
Mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit and food, and then you don't get them again for another year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. C'est la vie.
savor the abundance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The latest I've actually picked raspberries was October 25th.
Oh, wow.
And then
wow. All right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that was a couple of years ago.
And those come as a, on your canes that you're going to leave for next year.
Those are blooming and setting fruit right now. And the prima canes were still going, the ones that you pruned to the ground. They hadn't had a hard frost, so they were still going.
Oh, huh.
Yeah.
See, so there
so
you
good
have
producers,
it.
Yeah. Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
I love it.
The mysteries of the raspberry patch.
Yeah. What about winter grains?
Yeah. Well, I actually, Thursday, that nice rainy day, mm-hmm. and it was a fruit day.
Uh-huh. Fruit
and,
day.
And I went out there and planted that winter grain, winter rye and winter spelt. They're winter grains. Mm. And it's sort of a funny name for, it's just, they come up in the fall. You plant them, you know, sometime in October.
Right.
And they come up in the fall, and they sit there an inch or two, 3 inches tall. And then, again, they start growing in the springtime. And then you harvest them in July, usually July. And you can almost dry land farm them, which would be maybe once a month you water them.
Okay.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
And so is that in a whole garden bed of yours?
Where I took those 400 pounds of carrots. Potatoes
out. Okay.
It was ready. It's like, oh, the soil's all been cultivated.
Uh-huh.
Just raked it in and, you know.
Out with the old, in with the new.
And yeah. And it was raining.
And nice. And it was raining. Even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Hey, how about pumpkins? We talked about the squash going out, but I'm kind of getting excited to go to the pumpkin patch.
Oh, did you hear about the guy in California?
No.
The 2,000-pound pumpkin. Oh, yeah. He wins.
Yeah.
All right. I think you could probably carve it out and have a house.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's got to be huge, right?
The little old lady that lived in the pumpkin?
Yeah. I mean, how cool would that be? You know, you put a little stove in there, you hang out, you need something to eat, you go over to the wall, whack a piece off, no problem.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's good. I saw a guy who had a pumpkin that looked like the head of Frankenstein.
Oh,
I
mean,
I love pumpkins.
Oh, me too,
okay.
I love them.
Okay, well, make sure the stem's on them if you want them to last.
Right, you want to keep that stem on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, so we're coming up to pumpkin season. And gosh, what else do we need to remember as it's kind of those spring fall days right now, or fall spring days. Where,
yeah.
Where are you going to plant the garlic?
Where are you going to plant the garlic?
Yeah. It's getting time for that.
Right.
Yes,
so in the next
is.
Couple weeks, we're going to be
starting to get that rolling.
Mm-hmm. Be thinking about that. You're waiting to harvest some plants. And,
yeah, but that's for shallots.
Oh, that's for shallots. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
yeah,
I'm going to put those down where the deer definitely can't get them, because deer will go after shallot.
Yeah.
They love shallots.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Filthy little.
Well, my bed's ready. I just have to measure it off the rows.
All right, so we're going to have some great conversation about garlic planting tips.
Yeah, I
up
just
here
want
in the, next
the water
couple
to
weeks.
Hang out, hold off, so no rain.
No rain.
Right.
Yeah, so everything dries out nice.
Yeah,
so
it is a little
easier.
It's a little bit muddy right now. I tried digging the grass just off the edges, and it's like, it's too muddy yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to dry out hopefully by next Tuesday, and we will be back next Tuesday evening. And we invite you to send us an email at worm@kvnf.org. Lance, Lulu, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy
thank
the
you
beautiful
too
weather out there and have fun in your garden.
Oh, we will. You
good
too.
Night.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.